Thank you for joining us for this message from More Life Church, where we exist to love God, to love people, and to reach a region for Jesus and to make a difference for generations to come. Now, to learn more about how we're reaching our community and how you can partner with us and learn how God has uniquely designed you, check out Grow Steps on Demand by visiting morelifechurch.com/growsteps or by downloading our app today. But for now, enjoy today's message.
Here we go. Week one, Secrets of God's Economy. Let me break down the title and then give you some secrets. All right? If you're taking notes, here we go. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church. Father, thank you for your word. And make my lips just like the pen of a ready writer. Father, let it be none of me and all of you, that you may get the glory and the credit forevermore. And it's in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Come on, somebody, give me an amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus speaking, he says these words. I will give you, speaking to his disciples, thereby speaking to us also, who are also his disciples. If you are a disciple, then he's also speaking to you now. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The first thing that I want you to see is he gives these keys, which I'm calling secrets, to the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 says this. He told them, the disciples, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. This is good news, ladies and gentlemen, because the creator of heaven and earth says, I've got some secrets, I'm going to show them to you. But you're going to have to understand that you're going to have to be open to new things, because secrets always detangle us from old thinking. He says, I'm going to give you the secrets of the kingdom of God. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. You've probably heard this. If we could continue reading, you've heard that Jesus spoke in parables so that everybody could understand better. In fact, Jesus says the just opposite. He said, I spoke in parables so people on the outside couldn't understand. They had to have a right heart to get it. That's why when you read some parables with the wrong attitude, the wrong motive, the wrong mindset, you're more confused when you started than when you ended. Because there's a secret hidden in that thing that Jesus is saying, I want you to get. Here's the first secret that I want you to see. Number one, write this down or screenshot it. God's economy requires a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset. He said in previous verses that we read, and you could see it all over the place, he talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He said, Jesus talks about this all the time. I came to give you the kingdom. The kingdom lives in you. And this is what I want you to understand. Before we get into it, the structure of heaven is vitally important for you to understand. Economy is a lot about what I want to say is, economies are always attached to governments. You look at the nations of the world, you see their economy is always attached to that government standing in the world that it's situated in. Does that make sense? So like there's confidence in a government because of the nation. So what I want you to see is this, that God's economy requires us to look at this from a kingdom perspective. What is a kingdom perspective? The reason why we don't get this and why it's a secret is because most of us are familiar with democracy as a kingdom structure, right? A democratic republic. What is a democratic republic, ladies and gentlemen? It is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, which is a beautiful form of government, except for when the majority of the people lose their dang minds. Then when it's of the people, by the people, and for the people start suffering because they war against themselves. See, we look at the world, and if you try to take democracy and impose it into the Bible text, you're going to be flat confused. This is why it's a secret to the foundation of economy, because economies are attached to nations or governmental structures. The kingdom of God is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I hate to break the news to you, but my God does not care about how we vote on a subject that is important to our lives. He says, I am the king. What I decree is going to take place. It doesn't matter if you agree or disagree. This is the way it's going to be, because I'm God Almighty, and nothing's going to change what I want to have happen in the earth. That's how he functions. So what? You got to get this. God's economy requires a kingdom mindset. So when you're looking at the areas of your life that we're going to outline later, it isn't of you, by you, and for you. It isn't of you, by you, and for you, because that's democracy. Kingdom is this. Kingdom is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. A kingdom is a structure of government that is of the king, by the king, and for the king, full stop. So what you and I want pales in comparison to what is in the best interest of the king and the kingdom. And so that's the first secret, is to detangle yourself. When you're talking about God's way, you have to understand that God's kingdom has a governmental structure of economy. And let me just tell you something. God's system of economy and his kingdom never goes into recession. The kingdom of God never suffers crisis, because the kingdoms of this world are not the kingdoms of our God. His ways are higher than our ways. And this whole series is going to show you how to live outside of the confines. We're in the world, ladies and gentlemen, but we're not of it. What's that mean? That means we can align ourselves with a different structure that will position us in our hearts to live free towards him. Someone pause and tell me back, am I making any sense to you? Yes. Three of you. Great. That's good. I know you're thinking. So let me give you this. That's secret number one. I hope you got that down. Let me define economy for you. You could go through many, many years of higher learning, pay tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to get an economic degree, and I can boil down the entire degree in 1, 2, 3, 4 words. Economy means to maximize the minimum. In God's system, in our system, that's what economy is about. It's about making the most out of the least. That right there begins to help you understand you don't need a lot to excel in the kingdom of God. You have just got to be determined that you are going to take what you have, submit it and yield it to him, and make every effort to get every bit of juice squeezed out of that thing. I want to talk to the young people for just a moment. I'm going to give you a challenge. Every young person, you can define what that is, and I'll define it for you. If your parents pay for your cell phone bill, you're young. All right? If your parents pay for your cell phone bill, you're young. This is what I'm going to challenge you to do. Make the most out of the least. If your parents pay your cell phone bill, I want you to do something. Number one, if you don't know how much that cell phone bill is, I want you to find out how much it is. And number two, I want you to use that phone and, with your parents' help, download eBay or something, and go through your closet and your cabinets and your drawers, and I want you to find something you haven't touched or didn't even know you've had for 6 months, and I want you to sell that thing on eBay, and I want you to do this. I want you to sell everything you haven't used that you want to sell, a bunch of it. Sell a bunch of it. If you haven't used it in 6 months, you don't need it. This applies to you adults too, but I'm talking to everybody, all right? But the young people especially, sell that thing, give 10% to God, pay your parents their cell phone bill, and put the rest in the bank. Make the most out of the least. I'm tired of hearing American Christians say they're poor and broke and they don't have anything. You've got way more than you realize you've got, and it's time to get into God's economy and maximize the minimum. I didn't expect it to get shouted down this morning, but it's good preaching. I'm telling you that right now. This is really going to help somebody. And I don't want all the adults to miss that either. Sell something. Sell the boat. It's Ohio. You only use it 35 days a year anyhow. I just made somebody really mad. But seriously, go through and look at that stuff. Why would I say that? I gotta be mindful of time because we got another group coming in here in a minute. Matthew 25:29. For whoever has something, Jesus said, they're gonna be given more. And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This seems really, really harsh. But here's secret number two. Secret number two is this. Everything I have comes from God and belongs to God. I am not the owner.
Amen.
Everything I have comes from God and belongs to God. I'm not the owner. Someone says, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I worked hard to start that business. I worked hard to get those customers. Oh, yeah? Really? Where'd you get the mindset and the skills to reach them? Where'd that come from? Where'd you get the breath in your body this morning when you woke up? Where did you get the things that you're taking for granted? Secret number two is everything I have, it comes from God. When you start thinking this way, you will start managing different, which leads me to secret number three. And we're going to spend the next 10 minutes on this. One of the primary reasons God created man was for management. That's a big statement that I'm going to prove to you. One of the primary reasons God created man and woman, mankind, was for management. And we got to get this. This is vitally important. One of the main reasons for management. Look at Genesis with me, Genesis chapter 2, 4 and 5. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. Pause. In the creational moment, the Bible is describing this to us, and this is before shrubs, before plants, before crops. And he's going to tell us why. He says this, no plant, no crop had sprung up. Why? For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. There was no one to manage it. God says, I'm going to withhold growth and blessing and productivity until I can find me a good manager. You want to know why some stuff isn't growing in your life? You're a bad manager. God does not bless bad management. God does not send blessing to bad managers. I know that's a hard truth, but let me tell you something. If you'll catch that and not be offended by it, but rather make an adjustment based on that reality, you'll begin to see your life change. The main assignment given to man in the very beginning was to manage the resources that he had created. Listen, I want you to understand something. This might go against your doctrinal belief. The main reason he created you was not for you to worship him. He already had worshipers. He had a whole heaven full. He didn't need you for that. Now, it's good that we do, and it's a part of our creational mandate, but it isn't what God is looking at when he sends growth, when he sends blessing. This word work is in the Greek, which means ergon. And it means to become an effective manager. God held back things looking for good management. That isn't what you were expecting to hear this morning, is it? You were expecting to hear some miracle prayer over us. But can I tell you something? God is not in love with miracles as you are. Miracles is the mentality that says, give me something big with no effort on my part. That's just like the lottery, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I hate the lottery. Because it's you expecting to get something you didn't work for. If you don't work, you don't eat. I'm not talking about working for your salvation or earning love from God. I'm talking about managing the things that he has given you in this earth. Let me keep moving. You can look this up some more, and we're going to take the whole series and talk about this, about different aspects of this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. He took that man and put him there to work and to take care. What? To manage. To manage. Back to that secret. One of the primary reasons God created man was for management. Listen to me. You can't even have the word manage without man in it. It's the first three daggone letters. Woo! Good preaching, preacher. This is exciting. I'm waiting for somebody to wave a banner and run a lap around here. Oh, glory to God. Let me tell you what management is. If you run a business, if you run a family, if you're in the school system, I want to give you a definition for management. And I want you to screenshot this because you won't have time to write it down because I'm running out of time. Management is the effective, efficient, correct, and timely use of another individual's resources that they delegated for the purpose of producing the expected added value back to the owner. I know it's a lot of words, but it needs a lot of words. Management is built on the reality that you don't own it. It's someone else's. Jesus says it this way. He said, how will you be faithful with your own until you're faithful with that which is another man's? Some of you all want to know why you're not getting the promotion. You're not getting the promotion because you don't show up on time. You're not, ooh, you're praying for something, and God's saying, I need you to manage your life better. I need you to show up. I need you to work hard. I need you not to get out of the cubicle and start working hard when the boss starts walking the aisles. I need you to do that when nobody else is looking. I need you, when you've got downtime, to pick up the sweeper and mop and do something that's not in your job description. I'm talking about you managing effectively and efficiently the things that belong to someone else, because remember, secret number two is none of it belongs to you. It's all God's. So go and do that thing as if you're doing it directly to the Lord, and watch what He does. Amen. I'm going to give you some hard truths. Here they go. God doesn't send growth until He has someone to manage and work it. God's primary measurement for trusting you is management. God gives to effective managers. Whatever you fail to manage, you will lose. And good management attracts resources. God does not give resources to people who are wasteful. Remember the story of Jesus multiplying the fish and the loaves. Gather up all the scraps. I don't want any waste. So many of us are so wasteful. I'm going to challenge you over this series, and I hope you lean into the challenge. I'm going to challenge you with some things. I know it's far away from Christmas, but I'm going to encourage some of you to do Christmas on a shoestring budget. Wrap something up for the kid they haven't seen in 6 months. That thing they try to sell, get it and wrap it up and give it back to them at Christmas and save you some budget. We're so blessed we forgot how blessed we are. We're so blessed we think we're broke. Almost about 35% or more of you stood in front of your closet this morning and said, I just don't have anything to wear. And you've got lines and lines of clothes. Good management is what attracts resources. I'm going to break this all down for us during this series. But these things are vitally important, that we get it and that we pass it on, that we live it ourselves and show it to others. Mommy. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to give you 8 types of economy, so that you realize as we finish, I'm not just talking about money and stuff. This is way more than that. 8 types of economy. The first one is obvious. It's financial. It's financial. Assets or physical possessions, which can be converted into a form that can be used for transactions. Money. Your finances. That's one type of economy. It's not the only type. It's just one. The second is spiritual. And we're talking about management as a secret for all of these types of economy. This economy focuses on a person's heart and their relationship with God. How are you managing the financial part of your life? Ask yourself that question. You don't owe me an answer. You do owe yourself and God an answer. He knows anyway. Your spiritual life. How are you managing that? How are you doing with being in the Word, being in worship, being in prayer? When's the last time you took me up on the offer of the 15-minute revolution of 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer, and 5 minutes in worship? That's the lowest bar, ladies and gentlemen. That's 15 minutes. That's 15 minutes. You've been in God more than 2 years? That's such a low hurdle for you. Eight types of economy, spiritual. The next one is your soul. The soulical one, or the soul-based one, is this economy is about two kinds of intelligence. Your emotional intelligence and your intellect, EQ and IQ. How are you managing that part of your life? How well are you in tune with the feelings and emotions of people around you? How well do you understand interacting with your kids? How well do you understand interacting with your partner, your spouse? Emotionally, are you dense? Are you insensitive to the people around you, or are you like attuned to what's going on? And the way you build this and manage this is through reading, through singing, through reading, through studying, things of that, through asking questions of the people around you, not shying away from difficult conversations with your spouse or your kids, but having those conversations with them. This will build this part of you. How are you managing that? Are you just shoving and suppressing your emotions, or are you talking them out with those people that care about you? The next one is the physical economy. This is about how well you take care of your body. So how do you manage this? Let me just tell you something. This is one that I'm focused on right now. Me and my family are focused on this one. We're doing a program right now called 75 Hard. And I enjoy it, but I don't recommend it because the founder of it has non-church language that he uses, if you catch my drift. But I can handle that. I'm okay. I'm hearing it. It doesn't offend me, and I can move on because I understand that people don't use the same kind of words that I do. Here's the component. Every day, this is how because I'm realizing I'm not doing well in my physical life. I'm not managing my physical life very well. Can I just say this to you? You can't drink and smoke all day or all week or multiple times in a month and never work out and then expect your body to be okay. I want to challenge somebody. If you're a smoker, quit. If you're drinking more than you should, quit. Like, just quit. Start managing your physical body. You only get one body. You only get one. Start managing it. Get some extra. Here's what 75 Hard is, in case you're curious. It's a free program. It's 2 45-minute workouts every day. One has to be outside. It is taking a photo of yourself every single day to see your progress. It is drinking a gallon of water every day. That's why I'm quitting on time, because I got to go to the bathroom. It's reading 10 pages in a book every day. It's finding a diet that you want and following it every day. No cheat meals and no drugs and no alcohol. 75 days. And if you've missed one of the steps, you start all over on step one. That's the regimen and program that I'm doing. I'm going to do it for 75 days and I'm going to win because I'm serious about doing what I've said I was going to do. God gave me a body. I'm going to manage it. And that's the way I'm going to get started, right? So you find something and do it. The next one is social. Now, this concerns your family and your friends. How are you managing that? The next one is your influence. This is the level of inspiration you have on the world around you. How do you manage your influence? The next one is community. And this economy is focused on how you improve the lives of others. Very similar to influence, just a little bit different. This is what you do for others. The phrase that I've come up to help you remind you of this is, you're never remembered for what you saved. You'll be remembered for what you gave. Nobody remembers how much Steve Jobs had in the bank when he died. What we remember is the iPhone and all the other items that he left after, right? And lastly, the last economy is generational. This is how you pass on all the other streams of economy to the next generation. Daniel's going to come and help me. And you might be thinking to yourself, what about time? You kind of left off the economy of time and time management in that list. You could add it if you'd like. The reason I left it out is for this reason. If you properly manage your life in these eight types of economy, you will find that your time management issue is resolved. So many times and so often we attempt to get control of our schedule and our time with no purpose attached to it. Then it's just you being on the wheel. You just running on the rat wheel, and it doesn't really give you anything to aim at. These economies are what we focus on. Let me give you a couple things to think about on this generational impact. The preschool was a generational impact. I'm endeavoring to lead us as a church into writing our own epitaph for the future of what will people say about what we as a community of faith left to the community. What would they say? I believe with all my heart, we need to be leaving strong leaders in all sectors of industry. God knows we need strong governmental leaders. I want to raise those folks up. God knows we need good educational leaders. God knows we need good people in the sports world, and law enforcement, and the medical field. Do y'all know right now that people in the medical field, the educational field, and the law enforcement field, they're literally walking out of their jobs every day right now. Every day. Listen, what is this about? What am I talking about? You're going to see everything that I discuss with you comes back to management. And generational impact matters. In this preschool that we raise, I believe with all my heart, mayors, governors, senators, congressmen and women are going to come out of this preschool over the next 10, 15, 20 years. Someone says, that's a long time. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we greatly overestimate what we can do in 3 to 6 months and we greatly overestimate that. We overestimate what we can do in 3 to 6 months and greatly underestimate what we can do in 3 to 5 years. It's just every day. The generational thinking. One of the things that I want to leave to our community as a generational gift is the reduction of poverty and homelessness. But where does that start? You don't just wave a magic wand and get it. Where does it start? It starts with us, for our church and our community, finishing that kitchen. That's what it comes down to. You haven't heard me talk about that for a few weeks. And the reason is, I thought we were going to borrow the money, and we're not. Sorry, it took me some time to figure that out, but we're not going to. We're going to pay for it, cash, as we go. And the $40,000 has come in. I haven't spoken to you about it. I'm not putting any pressure on anybody. But if you want to make a generational impact, you can give to that today. The current need to get us to the next, to finish the next phase is $100,000. And when money comes in, we're going to do it pay as we go. We're not going to take any debt out on this ministry. We're going to just keep on going. And listen to me, I don't own anything here, in case you're wondering, you think I'm raising something for me. I don't own anything. When I'm dead and gone, this is not any person's property. Church is not like a business where someone owns it and sells it. It's passed on generationally. And so the kitchen is a way where your offerings are going. Just letting you know where they go. And the next one, the last one I want to talk about is something you haven't heard me speak about, but for quite a while, I've had in my heart a servant leadership academy. And what I want to begin to do is I want to begin to raise up leaders. And the first step is to get the video equipment so that I can begin to record and have others record those teaching sessions so that people can get access to them on demand, online, when they want. And I'm praying and I'm asking God that He gets this into the hands of some teenagers and some high schoolers and some college students, and they learned the fundamentals of servant leadership. Servant leadership is the way we ought to be managing our communities and our governments and our schools. Not a government, not leadership of the leader, by the leader, and for the leader. No. That's what's gotten us in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. But a servant leader says, I'm going to do this the way God wants me to do it for others. The last thing I want you to leave with this. God doesn't give you what you pray for. He gives you what you will manage well. This might bother you at first, but it'll set you free later. It's the truth that will make you free. Oftentimes the truth makes us mad at first, doesn't it? The truth will make you, it'll set you free, but first it'll tick you off. This is the answer for some of y'all on why prayers haven't come through. Because you're praying for something God knows you won't manage well because you haven't managed what He's already given you to manage. I says, I can't figure out why I haven't won the lottery yet. Well, that's easy. You can't be trusted with the tithe. You won't even give back 10% of what God's already given you. He's not going to give more to someone who hasn't been faithful with a little. And I'm not promising you if you tithe, you're going to win the lottery, because you aren't. I'm just trying to be real clear and direct about what it's going to take to move you forward.
Thanks again for joining us for this message from More Life Church. Now, if this message spoke to you, we would love for you to share it with someone you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to partner with us financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give. Now have an amazing day.